Welcome to the Otaku Melancholy Podcast, the anime and otaku culture podcast that can evolve even when eating a whole orchard of evolution food. My name is Matt, and before I knew it, my life had it made too. Unfortunately, the only thing my life had it made was a mess. And yeah, so here we are. Once again, this is just a whole ass gag episode, because what sprung originally as just, what do I do now? Where do I go? Who am I? Where will I take this adventure into new exciting directions? And the new and exciting direction is just covering isekai, I guess. Not really. Not at all. It was just literally a gag and Discord that got out of hand, I would say, because here I am talking about the fruit of evolution before I knew it. My life had it made, or as it is known in Japanese, Shinka no mi shiranai uchi no kachigumi jinsei. Or just the literal translation, the fruit of evolution, the life of a winner without knowing. And this is definitely not the life of a winner without knowing right now, because I have a lot of mixed feelings about this anime, and a lot of them are mixed with anger and remorse and a little bit of sadness. Because this was literally a gag where it was, hey, yeah, sure, I'll say something like, this anime is gonna this anime is changing the game. It's revolutionizing anime. It's saving anime. And so really and truly just a whole gag that it was just a passable idea is the only thing that I could come up with to do an episode on. And here it is. Here it is. It's all I've got. I hope you enjoy it. And if you don't, well, better luck next week, I guess. Anyways, so before we talk in and do some check-ins and then inevitably descend into talking about this isekai hell mess, I would just like to go ahead and talk about Audrey's announcement. So if you don't know, then now you'll know. But Audrey has announced that she's stepping down as a full-time co-host, or basically she's stepping away from being a co-host of this podcast. And to be a little bit vulnerable about this entire situation, this was not like Audrey did this and I was mad about it. This is truthfully, Audrey wasn't happy. Audrey didn't really like the experience that she was going through. And there was a lot of, I feel like, just weathering that went on as far as her spirit goes with doing and producing this kind of content. And so she just wanted to step down. And we're still friends, obviously. There's no resentment here between me and her. There's no, like, again, she knew it. She talked about it. It had been literally a year since she had said that she wanted to do it originally, and then she kept going. But with Audrey's departure, I feel a little bit of my spirit has been drained, really and truly. There's always been this mentality that I kind of thought that eventually Audrey would get over the hump, and eventually she would kind of just go back into just settling into her ways, and we would go back to our regular sort of production style and schedule. But these things, they just don't happen like you want them to sometimes. And that's sad because, as I've discussed in previous episodes of this podcast, a lot of the motivations for doing this entire thing was just because Audrey and I would have an activity that we had to do together and something that we could work on and something that we could kind of just come together and we could watch stuff and discuss it with each other and kind of have a mutual sort of grouping and ability to talk to each other. And I liked anime, and so we chose anime to kind of do this thing because I moved away, and then she ended up moving away from the area we were in. So there was a lot of fear that we might get disconnected, and this sort of whole thing would be a project that we could utilize to stay in touch and just talk about something that maybe we were both really passionate about. But all things eventually have to just come to an end, and while Audrey will be on for the shows she really likes and for the content she really is excited about, it still kind of hurts that she's not going to be around every single episode. It won't be like the old times when we would come in and it would be more joyous and jovial. It feels like she's coming back to do an episode or two. But just the resignation that she won't be on for every episode, it kind of, I don't know. I don't want to get sentimental, but it kind of hurts. Yeah, it kind of hurts that it's just not going to be the same podcast like it used to be. And I feel like if you all as listeners really enjoyed the content that Audrey and I made together as friends, and you wanted to back out because this wasn't going to be the kind of podcast you wanted, then I would understand. Because it is going to kind of be just a Matt show, or a Matt show until somebody comes along. I really don't know. I don't really know if anybody could ever just fill the same sort of spectrum of fun that Audrey really is for me. I guess in a way it kind of feels like with her departing as a full-time host, it feels a little bit like we're drifting further away. I don't know. I'm being overly sentimental. I am being really sentimental for no reason. But yeah, Audrey will come back for the stuff she really wants to talk about. And I really can't vouch for if there will ever be someone who replaces Audrey as like a host or an interim host. Or I don't even know if we'll have guest hosts or anything. I really don't know. I feel like at this point I'm just bothering people if I ask and say, hey, could you do this? And I really don't want to do that to anybody, any of my friends or anything like that. So we'll see where it goes. And if you don't enjoy the content, then I understand. You can go. There's a billion anime podcasts. You'll find something you like. I am just happy that you listened as much as you did. And if, you know, if Audrey and I hanging out and talking about anime was really what pulled you to the podcast and what you really enjoyed, and now that it's gone, you just decided you don't want to listen to it anymore, I would understand. I would get that. And I hope that wherever you go, wherever you decide to listen to, I hope that you're doing happy, and that you thank you for enjoying us and listening to us for the times that you were there. I don't know. I'm gonna need to take a little break and get my mood back into normal sobriety. I took a small break and drank an energy drink, so now I'm back to full energy and ready to talk about anime, and I am so sorry that I got a little bit sentimental and slightly sad there. Like, this is called Otaku Melancholy, but that was mostly for the vibes of just how it sounded and all that, kind of give you that little bit of city pop, you know, retro wave sort of feel. That wasn't supposed to be an actual sad boy show, despite the common misbelief that that's what it's supposed to be. No, this isn't real sad boy hours. This is just aesthetic. But no, I'm back to it. I'm ready to talk about things, and things will be great. Everything will be great. I hope you will still listen to us. And Audrey, if you're listening to this, I love you. You're still great, and I hope that we talk again soon. Anyways, here we go. So check-ins, what I did during my summer vacation, or what I did in the past week. A whole lot of nothing, my dude, as per the usual. But for real, I really don't think I have too much to report as far as just fun, interesting facts or things for you to listen about. So I have started playing Hi-Fi Rush like it is a newfangled religion, and I am deep in that cult bullshit. Hi-Fi Rush is so awesome. It might easily, when I finish it, I'll be able to tell you for certain, but I think it might be one of my favorite games ever. Just three or four levels in, and I'm already just obsessed with everything this game has to provide. Its gameplay, its story, its humor. It is almost immaculate to me at this point, but who knows? Hi-Fi Rush, though, if you can play it, I recommend it. I love this game so much. It is, if you don't know, it's basically a rhythm action game. It basically plays like a hack and slash kind of in a way, but you have to do it on beat. And it's such a novel sort of combination. I can't believe that it took this long to really just make that, you know? It's just wild to me. It's so cool. It's such a cool game. The aesthetic is perfect. It's immaculate. I really think it's immaculate at three or four levels in. Really just a perfect piece of video game entertainment. And I'm also still playing Like a Dragon Isshin. I'm like 25 hours in. I play this game like 3 hours every day. I know I'm going to try to 100% it for no reason. And hopefully I won't do this to myself with another Yakuza game again. Because if you want to 100% a Yakuza game, you're basically saying, yes, devil, have a piece of my soul. Because that's what it's going to take to actually do everything. And those games are so thick. You have to play every single just, you have to play every single minigame, including Mahjong. I learned how to play Mahjong for Yakuza. And let me tell you something. If you don't know how to play Mahjong, learning Mahjong is kind of, as what the kids might say, it's kind of a bitch, really and truly. It never feels like I 100% got it. I always feel like I was making maybe the middest of moves. And I still, to this day, if I had to go to like some sort of gangster casino or something and play Mahjong to save my life, like if I had to go full Kaiji Ultimate Survivor, I would be ultimate murdered because, I don't know, Mahjong is just it's a beast. It's a beast of a game. But yeah, so, you know, eventually I'll be on that Mahjong bullshit again, though, because I'm going to have to do it to get 100% on like a dragon, because you can never escape Mahjong if you want to play a Yakuza game. And outside of that, I have actually been picking up some anime again. I've been clearing some of my seasonals out that I really didn't ever plan on finishing, like more than a married couple, less than a married couple, whatever. The one with the pink-haired waifu, that show from last season. I picked that one back up again because it kind of fell on this weird period when I was watching, when I was kind of like trying to finish Yu Yu Hakusho or something. It came at a weird time for me, so I never finished it. But I did think it was kind of cute. It was kind of like a nice little salvo to stress because it was an anime that didn't require too much brain power. It was just kind of a put on and just enjoy. So I've been picking up some anime again. Manga-wise, I'm actually reading Exarm. And that'll come back into play later, so, you know, just remember that, put that in your memory banks to retrieve later, because it'll be important much down the road, like 4 or 5 episodes later. But yeah, I'm reading Exarm, and that is a manga. It's very mid manga. And I guess I want to just meander all over the place and talk about all these little things. Just talk about the big things, I suppose. You know, just the big, big things that are going on as far as entertainment-wise. Not the little bitty things, but as far as that goes. And books, I'm reading books. I just finished the Thursday Murder Club. And that was definitely one of the most funs I've had reading in a long time. I mean, literally, all it was fun. It was consistent fun. It's just got that sort of British witticism to it, which really, in the slower parts, still makes it a compelling read, I feel. But it took me so long to read it because I mostly kept putting it down and reading other things, like every single thing that Stephen King has ever written, because that's the new bullshit I'm on, believe it or not. I'm currently 300 pages out of 1,100 pages of it. I'll eventually finish that, but good lord, it goes between being such a slog and then being such a not slog, being legitimately scary, that I just don't know if I'll finish it, but I hope I will. I might just switch to full-time audiobook on this one because, good lord, I switched over to the book to start finishing it, but I might go back to the audiobook. I just don't know. I just don't know if I can get through 1,100 pages. I'm not the child that I used to be. I'm just not. I need some quick satisfaction. I need my chapter book. I need my 5-minute-long chapter books. Come on, it just feels like if I drop this book on a cat, it'll die. There'll be viscera and stuff all on the floor because that thing's gonna explode. This thing is thick. It's a thick ass book, but I'm also reading Dolores Claiborne just because I got a huge package of Stephen King novels and I said I don't know anything about this one. What is a Dolores Claiborne? I don't know. Maybe it's scary. It's not scary. It's not scary at all. But hey, what can you do? It's got the movie version of it apparently has Kathy Bates. So there you go. Gosh, I feel like that's enough meandering for now. That's basically all I've been doing this whole week outside of watching this anime, which only took me a day to watch. So hey, I'm Audrey's living legacy at this point. I've taken her desire to watch anime and I'm carrying it with me to binge stuff in a single day. But before we talk about said anime that I binged in almost a single period within a day, let's take a quick little break, and when we come back, we'll talk about The Fruit of Evolution. Before I knew it, my life had it made. Hey folks, it's Matt here to talk just a tiny bit about Boom Slank. Boom Slank is an anime apparel and lifestyle brand that has super unique style and art across their entire lineup of phone cases, posters, hoodies, t-shirts, and stickers. I actually really love their stuff, which is why I'm so hyped to talk about them, because you know I'm an actual fan of theirs and their lead artist Shinobi P. I have their Mania phone case and their Leo hoodie, and they're both these kind of things that my coworkers who aren't into anime, usually, and my friends who are definitely into anime actually say something to me about, because they both have this kind of spirit and design that you're not really going to see anywhere else in the market as far as anime apparel and those kind of products go. So that being said, I'm super excited to say that if you want to get some Boom Slank merch and help support the podcast in the process, you can go to their website, boomslank.com, and use our coupon code at checkout, Otaku Melancholy Podcast, that's all one word, and you'll get 10% off your purchase. Or if you just want to go straight to their website, you can go to the www.boomslank.com/otakumelancholypodcast to just have that coupon code automatically applied when you go to checkout. So yeah, a huge thanks to Boom Slank for reaching out and offering to help and support this podcast, because it means so much for, you know, a brand that I actually like and that Audrey and I both really admire to help support us. And just in case you didn't know how to spell that, it's boomslank.com. And there's even a link to their website with our coupon code in the show notes of whatever platform you're listening to this episode on. Thank you guys for listening to this. Back to the episode. Welcome back. I hope you enjoyed the break. But if you didn't enjoy the break, then you go to patreon.com/otakumelancholy and support us for as little as $3 a month to get sponsored free episodes, shout outs at the end of every single episode, as well as super secret Discord channel access and bonus episodes when applicable. But yeah, so let's go ahead and talk about this delightfully isekai anime. Let's talk about it. Yeah, here we go. You're going to talk about the anime now. The Fruit of Evolution. Before I knew it, my life had it made. Shinka no mi, shiranai uchi no kachigumi jinsei. Or as Google calls it, the Fruit of Evolution, the life of a winner without knowing. I've already said this already. So as you can tell by the fact that there's a whole ass synopsis in the name, and the fact that it's got a dumb sounding name, guess what? It's based off a light novel. Shocker! Who could have seen this coming? That the anime that's an isekai with a long name was based off a light novel. And not just a light novel. A light novel that was an adaptation of a web novel. You know how that goes. Like slime and every single other thing that wants to be like slime. So yeah, this was written by Miku, not of the Hatsune variety, but Miku, that's just their name, Miku, and it was illustrated by U35. I can't say that they're as great as U36, or they don't have the raw talent of U34, but there you go. And the anime was brought to us by Hotline, and I'm sure that you, dear listener, are looking at your earphones for some reason going, Hotline, I must have heard that wrong. Nope, Hotline. Hotline does anime. You know what their anime they do? The Fruit of Evolution. That's literally the only anime that matters even a single iota underneath their belt. They just do a lot of cooperation and assistance work. They assisted, I guess, in animation or production assistance with, I think they did that with Summertime Rendering. They did it with one of my favorite anime, Kakushigoto. So I'm a Spider and Boruto. I mean, all they do is just help other anime, it seems like. They just kind of help other anime do their thing instead of actually doing their own thing. And who could blame them, because they did this anime and they know what they did wrong. They know what they did. And that's why we're not going to forgive them, because, yeah, this anime, man, I have such mixed feelings about this anime in more than one way. So, the first season of this anime dropped in fall 2021, a very thick season, because it contained Mushoku Tensei Part 2, Komi Can't Communicate, Ranking of Kings, Blue Period in Miroku-chan, and those are all pretty solid anime, I think. No one can argue with that. Most people can't argue with that. Some people would argue with Komi, and I guess if you want to argue with that, then you can. But I didn't even register this anime as existing at that point, mostly because this was an off season for me. I feel like I didn't watch anything like heat, like with a heated passion during fall 2021. Maybe I was a little bit burned out. Maybe that was the start of the end of doing regular seasonal content and just kind of shifting over to lazily doing seasonal content. I don't know. But I had no idea that this anime existed. And if I did, then it was surely just swept into the back of my mind to be, yes, isekai anime, it exists. Because at this point, every single season, what, you get like at least three? I think the standard is three. We can get numbers as high as six as far as just seasonal isekai anime goes. But yeah, so this anime didn't register to me. The key art looked really just generic. And I just was fog. It was just left to the fog of my mind to never be brought up again until one of our Discord users, Echo, said something about it and posted the gorilla. And here we are today. Actually, we were talking about a currently airing seasonal Onimai, where I was like, this is an anime, all right. This anime's killing my brain cells, but good God, I can't stop watching it. And then they said something along the lines of, it can't be as bad as the Gorilla Waifu anime, and it was Gorilla Waifu anime. The fuck do you mean Gorilla Waifu anime? And so here we are, and that's why I watched it. So thank you, Echo. Thank you so much. But what is this anime about? So, essentially, this anime is about a guy, a Japanese school student named Shiichi. Is that his name? Shiichi. It's Seiichi, you dumb piece of shit. So there's this guy, Seiichi. He's fat. He basically kind of looks like the off-brand main character from Excel World. And he is being bullied, and everyone is going, oh, dang, he's being bullied. And then, as per regular tradition, as far as at least it goes in Japanese classrooms, a god comes over the intercom and says, hey, you are all being summoned to another world, so at least we can be thankful that the god is, at least it kind of has, wants to ask consent. And so they all get summoned to another world. And then Seiichi's like, oh, well, okay, he gets summoned too. And he is promptly just plopped down in a forest and goes, hey, what do I do here? And then he finds some fruit, the fruit of evolution. He eats it, and suddenly he just gets skills out the ass. Every time he just looks at a grass, he's like, he basically, what is its name? I know the spoiler version of its name, or what it becomes, but basically the voice from Slime, essentially every time that Seiichi does a single thing, Seiichi gets a skill, or learns something new, or gets a level up, and that's just kind of the gag, is that Seiichi is going, I want to be a normal guy, I want to be normal, don't let me learn skills all the time, I don't want that, I hate learning skills, skills are bad. He's just being a regular skill cook over there, and so it kind of becomes an issue, because he's just learning everything so fast, he's getting all these skills. But first he pops into this world before that all happens, and then a monkey kicks his ass. But then he kicks the monkey's ass, and then he gets all his skills. And after getting all of his skills, he eventually runs into Gorilla Waifu, Saria. And Saria is all like, hey, you're pretty strong, and I like that. Let's be husband and wife. I'm still a gorilla. And he goes, well, I don't have much of a say in this now, do I? And so Saria and Seiichi just kind of bond, and they hang out. And they fall in love. He fucking kisses the gorilla as she's dying in episode 2. And then she turns into a regular girl. And that's just what we have to deal with. Because here is what Matt thought. Matt thought that the girl was going to just turn into a regular girl every now and then. Matt was fully expecting just a full gorilla experience. The gorilla thriller, as some would call it. And I was really looking forward to that because, as you may or may not know, I have a huge, huge adoration of gorillas. They're really cool animals. I could just do gorilla facts all day long, but we don't have time for gorilla facts. So anyways, eventually, like, this little agent of the Dark Lord, Demon Lord, you know, it's an isekai anime. There's always a Devil Lord, a Dark Lord, Demon King, whatever you want to call him. Usually it's Demon King. There he is, the Demon King is there, and they're trying to kill him, but I think he's been sealed up or something, so now it's just, hey, we better stop the Demon King, because this is an isekai anime. You know, this, Yet still I watched it in a day-long period, so I'm being here all sarcastic and being like, at least it's an anime, oh my god. But I did just sit down and just finished it within a 24-hour period. So who here is the real, who is the real loser here, Matt? It's you. All right, great conversation there, Matt. But yeah. So Saria gets, eventually when they go to fight this agent of the Demon Lord, Demon King, whatever. Doesn't matter. I'm just going to call him DK. Donkey Kong for short. So essentially that all happens. And then Gorilla Waifu turns into just regular Waifu, who has a cute flower in her hair like the gorilla did, and she's got pink hair, and she was much better as a gorilla, in my humble opinion. Not that I'm encouraging anything by that, but as the gorilla is dying, he does kiss the gorilla in a very tender moment. Could not believe that was happening, except the anime whisked out and didn't even have it like on the lips. It was just hovering over it like, come on, if you're going to be furry, then be furry, dude. I'm not going to judge. I will judge a little bit, actually, now that I've said that out loud. But come on, if you're going to do that, then do it. Do it whole. Go whole ass into this. Just absolutely just alienate your audience. 200%. Don't be a coward. Have them smooch the gorilla on the lips. Just throw everybody out of this. Just make them disconnect. Make their souls leave their body. But no, you're like, yeah, it's implied he kissed the gorilla. Well, it's implied that you're dumb. Burn. So essentially that all happens. Saria becomes a cute anime waifu. And then hijinks ensue. As Seiichi goes to join a guild, as you are known to do in these sort of situations. And there he meets a whole gaggle of S&M peoples. I don't know what S&M enjoyers are called, but I am sure BDSM? BDSM. Is it S&M? I feel like one is wrong and one is the other. I think S&M is the wrong one. I don't know. I don't know anything about that. I'm a pure, wholesome, innocent maiden. But he goes to a guild and it's basically just filled with people who have like weird fetishes. Like there's a guy who's got like a milk fetish. There's a nudist, not a nudist, exposer. Why is this? This isn't coming to my brain. Streaker? I don't know. Streaker, exposer? Why is this not coming to my brain? Streaker? It's not streaker, you dumbass. It's something else. I hate you. But you know what I'm saying. He exposes himself. And then there's whip me harder mommy, and then there's the mommy who whips people harder, and then there's Gussle, who is apparently who is the guild leader of this guild, and he is super strong, which comes back later in another episode, because I just thought that was a whole gag. And then there's an awkward, a not very flattering representation of gay people? I don't know, question mark? Unsure, question mark? Basically, after Seiichi comes to the guild, these guys take him to go meet their boss, and the boss, they're basically just saying like, it just hurts for the first time. It's basically implying that this person is intending to force themselves maybe a little bit sexually onto Seiichi, and then they chase him as he runs away. Of course, this character who is like this has a groin swimsuit. I don't know how to describe it. It looks like a V. You know. And it's a little bit it's not really flattering if you're of that kind of group. But they essentially imply that they're all into doing stuff. Eventually, later on, the final episode, they implement a technique called the Rose Punch, where they punch a troll in the asshole. That was really cool. Didn't think I would see that in an anime in my lifetime, but, you know, there it was. I called it a rose punch, and I said, what's a rose punch? That's going to be like some sort of thing where they shoot flowers or something. No, I was wrong. That is not what that was at all. And they didn't show it, and I'm getting a little bit offhand track of what happened in this anime, but that happened, and I said, oh, well, that's just fine diddly Andy, isn't it? So yeah, that there you go, that's the guild. And Seiichi says, well, time to learn about guild things. And then he meets best girl. I will not be arguing with this. Altria arc. Yeah, anyways, he meets best girl, tan skin, white haired waifu. She is adorable. She's also called like the Calamity or something like that, because she's got negative two billion luck, which is just, it was just a very big awe moment. But anyway, she's best girl. I'm not wrong about this. She's just white hair, like slightly tan skin. She's adorable. She's fun. I'm going to end up spoiling this entire anime, so I hope you either don't care or have already watched it, because it's kind of hard to just talk about an anime without ever going the entire story if you're just by yourself. Eventually, best girl goes all full angsty, going, I've got such bad luck. My luck. It's ruining everything. And she goes, how could I ever have Nankama? Friends, I tried to make a joke there, but it didn't work because I couldn't remember the name. This is Matt speaking, not the actual world waifu. But anyway, so she says, I don't deserve to have friends. Ooh, ooh, I'm so sad. And then Seiichi inadvertently goes to rescue her after she gets kidnapped through this, like, she gets transported because we've got our bumbling Demon King DK acolytes who are just going around messing with humans just for the shits and the gigs. And anyways, best girl gets teleported to the dungeon with like the dark demon dragon. And that's something that I thought would be a lot more interesting. Throughout this entire anime, they routinely fight enemies who, after Seiichi inevitably disposes of them, he gets a book that kind of retells their lives and kind of addresses where they came from, gives a little bit of backstory, a little bit ham-fisted, but this is an isekai anime, so there you go. I'm not expecting the kind of prose of just legendary literature, dummy. Anyway, so every time they defeat a bad guy, Seiichi gets a little book that talks about their backstory. And I, off topic just a little bit, or not even off topic because I'm talking about the anime, but there are several times throughout this anime that it inevitably got me tickled. And I say tickled because it wasn't a huge guffaw laugh, although I did have a huge laugh later on when they talked about like these deer horses. The deer horses got me really, really bad because it was essentially when they go to get a horse later on in the anime, they have, you know, they have dragon horses. They have just horses. And then they have the deer horses who die because they forget to breathe and who, when they hit a bump, they die out of shock. And the deer horses just look so ludicrously dumb. They look like a 5-year-old drew them. And the guy is so shocked when one of them just dies standing up. I don't know. That just got me really, really bad when that entire scene happened, because he was just so, it died! So this anime regularly does get me tickled. Not for a prolonged, like, huge guffaw, and not in any way that any other sort of isekai comedies kind of did to a much better degree. I mean, when I finished this anime, I kind of just said, you know what would be really cool? Konosuba. Because I never finished the second season of Konosuba. I only watched the first one. And the entire vibes of this anime was just, what if Konosuba had a cousin who had a cousin that married into the family? And that is kind of where this anime lies on the spectrum, except it's got your regular cuck protagonist of these kind of shows. Well, I guess I say cuck, but he does kiss a gorilla, and he also ends up kissing best girl later on. So maybe I'm being a little bit judgmental here too. Also, spoilers, so there you go. So yeah, he ends up, the show does end up actually being kind of funny. The final fight that kind of happens on episode 11 and 12 got me smirking a little bit. So there's a love-hate relationship with the show. Also, it's got memes. I posted it on Twitter. I don't think anybody saw it because, hey, it's Twitter. I understand. But they have the angry gremlin cat as a meme and the big mouth cat as art in a later episode. It was really dumb, but the moment I saw this picture of this cat, I said, oh, that's the angry as fuck cat. So yeah. But this anime, for all the fault, it does give me a couple smiles, but you know, I feel like it was trying to be a comedy mostly. It's the kind of circumstances that befall any sort of isekai power fantasy story, where is this supposed to be funny or is this supposed to be wish fulfillment? It can be both, obviously. I mean, there's obviously a ground for both to reside. It's just, while I was watching a lot of this anime, it just made me kind of want to watch other isekais that are a lot better. I mean, the first inspiration that comes to mind, I'm getting wholly off topic of what happens in the story. But watching the entire time I watched it, it kind of just kind of made me want the more fulfilling fantasy of Slime. Because Slime actually has a story that goes places. slime actually as characters I'm a little bit more invested in. Not by much, apparently, after watching the movie. It turns out that all I want is just to figure out how much Tempest is going to grow. But slime has a lot going for it and has just the power fantasy of Rimuru, who is basically, is undefeatable. But this guy, just with his blandness of, I don't want to learn skills, I've got all the skills, it just feels so, it just doesn't click as well as other ones. And I'm not a big isekai fan. I think if you listen to this show, it's never been something I'm wholly invested in, unless there's kind of a new spark, a new sort of flavor mixed into it. Because I can see why some people would get the appeal of this. If this was maybe one of your first anime, there might be more to enjoy from this show, because it kind of does implement a lot of the tropes from isekai that are a little bit exhaustive at this point. And I'm saying this, again, as someone who doesn't regularly watch isekai, but every isekai I do end up watching, it always has that inevitable, use this to analyze enemies. All these enemies, you can gauge your skills, you have skills. It's basically, all I can get from a lot of these shows is that these people really like RPGs, like, you know, Dragon Quest, Tales of the World, whatever, and they want you to know that they love these games and that they're going to implement their systems into these worlds. Which, the first time, would be really cool. I can remember when Konosuba dropped, when I was just a wee young weeaboo, and I watched the first three episodes, and I said, wow, it's like a video game. Do you see this, mummy? It's like they're in a video game world, and they have stats and skills. Oh, mummy, dearest, can we keep this anime forever? But now, you know, 10 years down the road, 9 years down the road, I don't remember when Konosuba aired, but now, infinitely down the road, all these tropes happen, and it's just, yes, I get it. Our main character has A rank and everything. Wow, amazing, super spectacular.
So that just ends up being exhausting.
Or at least it feels exhausting to me, and then I just end up getting burned out. I don't know. See, as much as there might come off as an air of elitism, to me, like, oh, isekai, oh, I know where this is going. Oh, this is just exhaustively banal at this point. I really have only so much experience with isekai as a genre. It's just there's such a weird stigma that's kind of been enforced on me from such a young weeaboo age. But no, you just always see this sort of mocking discussion about isekai. But maybe there's some good in here. That's a little bit off topic. Anyways, so yeah, I wholly at this point I was just when we introduced the Calamity, getting back on topic for the story at least. When we were just talking about the Calamity, about a best girl, and then it, you know, he actually did the classic isekai protagonist move, which is, here's a ring, it'll help raise your luck and prevent the curse from overtaking you. And of course he puts it on her ring finger, and she goes all, how dare you put the ring on me, I'm getting so flustered, oh, and she runs off, and then eventually she's like, actually, I really like you, and they kiss. And then it becomes, Saria is like, I'm a gorilla, and I can understand why we would want the same mate. You can be married, and I can be the girlfriend. And I said, well, okay, all right, I see what you're doing, Fruit of Evolution. Fruit of Evolution. All right, that's fine. I get that. I'm bobbing my head with smugly as I say this, but I was at this point kind of going like, oh, so we're just having an actual harem. Like, this dude is going to, like, marry and have girlfriends, and there's going to just be new elements all around to this harem. Okay, expected. Of course you have to have a harem and an isekai, or at least, you know, a pseudo harem. At least a bunch of females. There you go. I was not surprised. I wasn't just, oh, what? But then we get into the horse racing arc, horse racing episode that introduces Lelune, who, at that point, when he was just, here's the donkey can talk, he's really vibing with the donkey. I said, oh, that donkey's going to get fed a fruit of evolution, and then she's going to turn into a human, and then we're going to go back to our furry ways. And I kind of grazed over the fruit of evolution thing. So Seiichi ends up eating a bunch of these fruit of evolutions, and it basically powers him up to an extreme degree. When he starts off the show, he's a little bit chonky, and after eating a bunch of fruit of evolution, he becomes, you know, looking like your typical
protagonist for this kind of thing. And he just keeps giving them away. Saria eventually says, I was just saving them for my husband. And you ate them. That's okay because we're going to get married. And then he just gives one to Lilune during their race. And she gets powered up and turns into a human. And I said, if this girl going to look like that, those dudes from Pinocchio, like she's going to have like, you know, donkey ears and all that, because that would be really cool. You don't see too many donkey girls in anime. I mean, that would be cool though, right? I'm not wrong. Donkey girls. We got horse girls. We got Uma Musume. You know what I'm talking about. We could have donkey girls. What's wrong with donkey girls? Mule girls even. There's a lot there. There could have been something there. But instead, she barely gets to look like she resembles a donkey. I'm just saying, we could have had that. And instead, it was just, here's another waifu. And I don't even remember too much about Lilune. Outside of just that she was a donkey. And she was tied to probably the best episode. The donkey, the horse racing episode. Arguably the best episode because it was actually really, really funny. Or at least the whole horse deer thing was funny. Maybe I'll get a horse deer thing. Well, horse deer eventually too. The horse deer bit came back in that episode too. And I'm just talking a little bit. Just a little bit of a stream of consciousness about this. But when the horse deer came back, I was in the floor laughing about the horse deer. I don't know. The horse deer just looks so stupid. I'm probably going to make the preview image of this anime, of this episode on Spotify. It's going to be the horse deer. Guarantee it. The horse deer were pretty great. I love the horse deer. I love talking about the horse deer. The horse deer were the best part of this anime. I'm not even wrong. Actually, Saria as a gorilla was the best part of this anime. Saria herself, maybe not so much, because after she stops going gorilla mode, she just kind of becomes your typical happy harem girl, where it's, I like helping the children. I like doing this. I like you, Seiichi. He he he, tee hee, tee hee. I'm saying Seiichi. Is his name Seiichi? I binged this in a day. It's Seiichi. Why do I always doubt myself about this? Seiichi, he just looks like a Seiichi, you know? You ever just look at somebody and go, dang, they got Seiichi vibes? You just look at your friend and you just say, you like a Seiichi. And they go, what do you mean? And you just say, yeah, you know, you like a Seiichi. Roll your eyes at them, walk away. That's how that works, right? I completely also overshadowed the fact that they've got this stupid little sheep thing that pops up every time they clear a dungeon. That thing was totally irrelevant. I don't know what the point of this little stupid sheep thing is. He's dumb. Is he supposed to be a sheep? I don't know. I hated them. He was just a dude. Voiced by Rachel Glass, though. That's pretty cool. Pretty cool. I would also like to say that because Crunchyroll was giving me kind of a hard, was giving me a weirdly hard time for this anime in particular. I don't know what it was, but it did not want to play this anime at all. Also, I didn't know that Rachel Glass was the younger sister of Caitlin Glass. That's a cool fun fact for you listener, and if you don't know who Caitlin Glass is, then I guess that'd be a lot of people. Who knows who Caitlin Glass is? But if you know, you know. To my point, though, so it was giving me a weirdly hard time about this anime in particular, about watching it. I just don't know what it is. Crunchyroll's been a piece of trash lately for me, but I don't know if that's just me, if that's my internet, if that's Crunchyroll itself. So I actually had to go look for this one on the back of a truck and get it that way. And every time I started a new episode, I had to listen to the voice of Seiichi's English voice actor. And I just want to know, why are you starting me off on the English dub for this? I was so aggravated starting off on the English dub all the time because I couldn't just binge it, obviously, because I was watching it off the back of a truck or with the back of the truck. So I would have to go and click on a new episode. And every time I would get like, my name is Seiichi. And I was like, oh, stop it. I know your name is Seiichi. Please don't say this. And I don't know this dub actor. He's probably really talented, but I just couldn't stand that voice every time I started up a new episode. Sorry, dude. I hope you're doing well, though, if you're listening to this, but couldn't stand that. And that's just, of all the shows to get a dub, though, it's so weird that this one got a dub. Isn't it weird? I feel like it's weird. I'm gonna say it's weird. Actually, while the entire time I was like, I was talking about this anime, I started thinking about Moonlit Fantasy. You know, that anime. I don't know why. I just thought maybe I should watch that. Maybe I should watch Moonlit Fantasy. I'm kind of in for like a trash isekai mood. I'm kind of in a trash isekai mood right now. Although, surprisingly enough, Tsukimichi Moonlit Fantasy has a higher score than Wandering Witch, The Journey of Elena. And I don't know what kind of sacrilege that is, but we'll get to the bottom of it eventually. Anyways, let's go back on my point. I don't remember what my point was, but let's go back to it. So after the horse race thing, then we get into some episodes I really didn't care about because it eventually becomes a just collect them all sort of thing. Honestly, at the point after the horse race, that was kind of where I peaked and I didn't really care back until we got into the final episode. The monsters are attacking the town sort of thing. There's also like a whole background arc about the demons and what they're doing, trying to bring back the Demon King. And I'm completely overlooking during this entire story of this first season. They keep going back to Seiichi's classmates and how he wants to find them. That's kind of his motivating goal, is to find his classmates for some reason. And his classmates are just kind of being used as pawns for another kingdom who are just train them. All right, they've been trained enough. Go teach them somewhere else. We just really need to use them to just stop this Demon King. Stop the DK. Okay. And I don't know why Seiichi even cares, because at the start, it just kind of seems like he's being relentlessly bullied. He's being bullied by some other people, and no one is stopping them. Like, he is on the floor at the start of the episode. And for someone who has friends that he cares enough to search for them that bad in this isekai world, why weren't they defending you, dude? You were on the floor. That's where dust lives. That's where dirt lives. And you just want to go find them. And then throughout this entire anime, they keep flashing over to his friends who are going, we need to find Seiichi. Where's Seiichi? I hope Seiichi's okay. And one girl comes up and goes, Seiichi saved my life. I gotta find him. And I was just, okay. All right. Seiichi's like, oh, but y'all still were all like, eat the dirt, Seiichi. So the question just lingers, do you actually care, or is it just one of those things where you have like survivor's guilt because you don't know where Seiichi is? I don't know, but Seiichi's doing fine without you. Eventually they get taken to some magic kingdom. It's where Seiichi ends up going to the magic school, as you have in all of these isekai fantasies. I'm sounding really jaded, and I'm trying not to be. Because I did finish this show within 24 hours, so that's a big stamp of approval from your boy Matt. Anyway, so after that, Seiichi is just, oh, okay, I guess I'll go do a thing. And he ends up after he wins his horse race, he gets to hang out with the Valkyries, who are essentially elite guards. They're all women, because of course they are. And he meets, I almost called her Laura. Her name's not Laura, is it? It's not Laura. It's Louise. I'm kind of like that cat from Adventure Time. I know almost approximately everything, Frank the Human Boy. How did you almost approximately know my name? That's kind of how I've been this entire episode. Yeah, Seiichi, the protagonist. Wait, Seiichi. No, Laura, the guard. No, Saria. Isn't that the name of the girl from Legend of Zelda who teaches Saria song? Of course it is. Why did I even doubt myself? Lilune. I remember Lilune's name, though, so there you go. Why can't we have donkey girls? Just saying that out. Don't be a coward, anime. Be confident. Give them what they want. Give them donkey girls. So meets Valkyries. Louise is there. She's like, oh, you're so good. You've defeated my immaculate technique. And because this anime is, I'm assuming, is literally just got the budget of whatever somebody had in like their little piggy bank jar, all the yen, because the animation throughout this entire show was it kind of sucked. It really was not phenomenal by any stretch of the imagination. Do you like jazz? No. Do you like slideshows? Because that's kind of where we're going. It was a little bit of a... It wasn't that bad. It wasn't just absolutely awful. But if you've ever just seen an anime where you know that they just got to get it out and they're phoning it in a little bit, like someone said, we don't need in-betweens. You'll just do what we do, because that's entirely what this was. It was just it's about D-tier animation, which I'm not a fan. I don't know. I feel like animation at this point, you could have crappy story, but if you looked gorgeous, I would probably be more invested with you. I used to think I was the opposite, where good story would kind of replace me for bad animation. But at this point, I kind of just want my eyeballs to have something easy to look at. I don't know. Maybe I've grown vain in my older age. I don't know. So Louise meets the king at the bar. He met the king earlier, or not the king, but basically the leader of this town at a bar when he was complaining about his woman woes, and then the king gets attacked. I'm getting a little bit off tangent here. Not off tangent, but off the cycle of the story. So essentially, after being trained, and Louise is all like, "You're so cool, senpai. You're going to be my master now. And I'm going to love you and follow you forever and have a dynamic relationship that is unlike any of the other girls in this harem, so that you know that there's a difference between me and her and all the other girls." And he goes, "Well, okay, that's fine. That's cool. I can be your master. Actually, I don't want to be your master, but I guess I'll be your master anyways." And then the young girl attacks the king. Doesn't kill the king, just puts him in an eternal sleep spell. And of course, Seiichi goes, "Oh, I'll just make it stop." And he literally just says, "Get better," and it works. That's actually what happens, and it works. And then he meets the little girl character who's enslaved and forced to do this, and she's 6 years old, perfect for all your oni-chans and, you know, all that. And she's got cat ears too, because this is a furry anime. Is she the one that has cat ears? I'm fairly certain she has cat ears. Yeah, she has cat ears. Why am I doubting myself? And he says, you can call me oni-chan. And of course she goes, "Oh, oni-chan, that feels good." And I'm just, yeah, just mark all, let's just check all the boxes on this. We have to have the main girl. We have to have the other main girl. We have to have the girl who's not going to win, obviously. I don't know. There's a little bit of just, I understand why we have to have all these girls in this harem, obviously, because not everybody likes vanilla. Not everybody likes gorilla-flavored waifu. Some people want little cat girl waifu. Some people want donkey girl waifu. Some people want warrior waifu. There's all these people who want different flavors of waifu. And I understand that. I'm not decrying your ability to pick a different flavor of waifu. But come on. Let's get some originality. Maybe we get, you know, PTSD yandere waifu. Something like that, you know, waifu who's, I don't know, got a sock fetish. Let's just throw out some original ideas here. Sock fetish, is that a real thing? I'm sure it is. It's always a real thing when it involves fetishes. Maybe waifu who's, you know, who's got a little bit like, she's maybe like, you know, $6,000 in debt. Not unreasonable, just saying. Maybe that's what we do. Maybe we just diversify. Not all of them have to just fill into these holes. We just have a little bit of a assortment of waifus. You know, just a little bit. Just I'm not asking for the moon, I feel like. But this anime, as far as just presenting your waifu characters, there's nothing here that's revolutionary. Gorilla Girl, I thought we were going to get Gorilla Girl. It was going to be great. I thought we were going to get gorilla waifu, but we didn't. We just had regular girl who is sometimes a gorilla when she needs to use it for combat purposes. She started off as a gorilla, and she was a cute pink gorilla. Fantasy gorilla. It was great. I loved her as a gorilla. I love Suri as a gorilla. I'm getting off topic, though. So Cat-ear, little girl, I'm your little sister, shows up, and then about that time, we're attacking the town. And that's when we get our big team-up sequence that includes Rose Punch. And everybody just showing off their unique fetishes in the guild. Because as you may or may not remember, as I said earlier in the episode, this entire guild is just fetish town. We got Milky Dude. We got a lot going on. No, but for real, they all team up. And it's just one of those things where you go, "Oh yeah, that dude was there. Oh yeah, that dude was there too." And then Gustl shows up and just shows that he's like an S-rank S-rank Omega level man who just knocks everything out of the park. And I should mention that I don't know if it's a Lucky Star reference, but I consider it a Lucky Star reference because it was the first time I ever saw or heard mention of this. But eventually, another character meets a character they really revere, and he says, "I've got three copies of your book, one to keep, one to lend out, and one to use." And I said, "Oh, a Lucky Star reference. A very bold. I like it. I like me a good Lucky Star reference. I need to rewatch Lucky Star. It's been a minute. I've only seen it twice. But it still was a delightful reference, regardless. It was a nice shade of sunlight in the dark underbelly of what this anime was. So I guess I'm just going to... we've already gotten this far. I might as well just spoil the rest of the anime. They defend the monsters. One of the wizard dudes goes, "Wow, Seiichi, you're so cool. Go teach at Magic Academy." And he goes, "Well, I guess I might as well." And he says, "Oh, okay, that's cool. All your harem will have jobs here too." And he says, "Okay, that's cool." And so they get on a horse and buggy. Why did I say trolley? And they go to the Magic Academy, and they're going to learn, and they're going to be better, and everybody's going to be happier. And then Ultraman jumps on the roof of the trolley and says, "Introducing me." And then that's where the anime ends. And I said, "Who's Ultraman? Who is this man that just jumped on the roof of the trolley? The trolley, the horse and carriage. Who did this? Who man is this?" And I said, "I'm not going to watch the second anime. I'm not going to watch the second season of this anime. And I am watching the second season of this anime because I just was, well, what? Why? Why would you do this? Why? I legitimately, for all the sarcasm, for all just the general, just meanness that I was kind of exuding towards this anime, I liked it well enough to where I hated it, but I didn't want to stop. It was junk food. It was junk food of anime. That was the entire thing of the Fruit of Evolution. Not revolutionary. It is just salt in a cracker and a little bit of it's just salt. It is just salt the food. It's nothing that you haven't seen before. It's nothing that you would ever go, wow. If this was like your first anime, you might think it's revolutionary, but there's nothing here that's outstanding in any way. Outside of the deer horse and the gorilla waifu, there's nothing here that is even bordering originality, but I still, here I am watching the second season, not out of obligation. This was a little bit more of an obligation just because I said that I would, just jokingly said, "Oh yes, I will talk about this anime because ha 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 ha, gorilla waifu, this is gonna save anime." But it is legitimately, I want to see where the story goes, see who Ultraman was, and just see where Seiichi goes, and I kind of hate myself for it, not gonna lie. Like, the self-loathing scale tipped a little bit over, because I didn't plan on actually watching the second season, but I'm there. I've consented to doing this. Here I am. So, overall, what are the core thoughts and feelings about this anime? It's bad. It's legitimately bad. It's not average, it's not an anime that is just meh at the end of the day. It wasn't anything that I watched and I said, this is just going into my brain and right out. It was legitimately just the entire time I was, I've seen this before. I've seen this before. This isn't revolutionary. This is just done to death isekai. This is just the tuna fish of isekai. The canned tuna fish of isekai. It's packed into a can. It's sent out to millions of homes across the country who consent to watching this kind of thing. And I don't think it's going to be anybody's favorite anime, but if it is your favorite anime, then I am sorry that I've been bashing it so much. But it's just canned tuna fish, the anime. And there's nothing special about the animation. There's nothing special about the characters. There's gorilla waifu. There's deer horse. That's it. And they don't even matter. They're both just basically one-off gags for just a sequence of events. It's just literally, I'm a gorilla, but now I'm a girl. And this is a horse that's also a deer. And it died because it forgot to breathe. And that's essentially all that this anime had for it that will stay in my mind. But here I am complaining, moaning, groaning, saying all these just criticisms of it. But I'm still watching it. It's the Pop-Tart of anime. It's just, oh, this tastes like crab, but here I am, still eating it. Not that Pop-Tarts are bad, it's just from a video where, like, Eastern people ate, like, American food, but that's what it is. It's just, here we go, I don't like this, I kind of hate it, I kind of think it's crap, but I'm not going to stop. And maybe I would probably like it a little bit more if I had watched it at 1.5 speed. I feel like this anime is perfect for 1.5 speed, or maybe even 2x speed, because you could just eat it. You could just eat it like a snack, just down the whole bag all at once, because there's nothing here there's no animation here that you're going to see that would be remarkable. No character designs, nothing. Like I said, a completely, wholly unremarkable anime, but much like Doritos. No one's ever going to go and say, hey, Doritos are the best food known to man. Hey, saltine crackers are the goat of food. No one is going to say that. But at the same time, here you are. You're still going to eat them. You're still going to shovel them in by the mouthful. You're still probably going to down that whole thing with some soda. And that's what this anime was. That's what the Fruit of Evolution is. It's just something to eat en masse and just get done with and then walk away and then throw the bag out. That's what this anime is. It's just junk food. It's junk food, the anime. It's junk food, the anime. That's the thing. Is it saving anime? It kind of is, actually, because if you watch this kind of stuff, it'll make you appreciate the goodness of anime, the goodness of better anime more after you finish eating your Doritos Locos Taco of anime. This isn't even a Doritos Locos Taco of anime, because that's pretty good. A Doritos Locos Taco is like the 7 out of 10 of food. Just pretty good. Doritos Locos. You know, I think I might get Taco Bell after this, because now all I can think about just in this instant is Doritos Locos Tacos. So maybe that's what it is. Maybe that's the happy ending for this entire experience, is that it encouraged me to get a Doritos Locos Taco. But in all seriousness, this anime, it's bad. It's bad. I'm giving it a 4 out of 10, but I'm still gonna watch it. I still think if you have an afternoon and you need an anime, and maybe you have a copy of it just lying around your house that you can watch at 1.5 speed or 1.25 speed, just anything to just make sure that you don't have to deal with the slower moments that the show provides, because good lord, are there some moments where there's just too much lingering on a scene, there's just too much what's going on here, there's just too much that, you know, it's just unremarkable, and I feel like if it was sped up, I could get more out of it. And unfortunately, I only got so much out of it. But I do appreciate the fact that I liked it enough to binge it. It's been a minute since I've ever been able to do that. So there you go. At least you can have that as something worthwhile, Fruit of Evolution. I feel like I haven't said this anime's name enough. Like, you might have forgotten what it is. I mean, out of context, this entire review would just seem like I'm reviewing some other anime. Any isekai, really. But yeah, really and truly, unremarkable anime. It's bad, but it's the only anime that has a deer horse. So that's unique. That's something. Deer horse. But anyways, I guess much like a deer horse, I'm gonna take a bump and just die, because this discussion about the Fruit of Evolution, before I knew it, my life had it made, is dead. And not really a discussion, it was mostly just a recap, huh? With occasional bits of discussion about just isekai and the subjects we've been. But, hey, it was still there. We still watched it and we talked about it. And that's all that matters, right? Right. Thank you guys for listening. We have been, and by we, I mean me. Me have been the Otaku Melancholy Podcast. You can go to our website, otakumelancholy.com, to get all our links, including all of the links to our episodes past, present, and future, as well as the ones to our social media like Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And you can even, if you want to talk about this anime and more, join the Discord and hang out there. There's a lot of cool people, including the person who recommended this anime to me, but they didn't really recommend it to me. I just kind of said, yeah, I'll watch that, but a lot of cool people regardless. I hope you'll join us and hang out. And speaking of cool people who like to hang out, I'd like to thank our patrons for supporting this episode and making it all possible with their generous donations. I'd like to thank Anime of the Week, Chris S., Cream Puff Coon, Darth Egg, Earthworm the Anime Brother, IKEA Plant, Jalvin, Moe Soda, and Steered Marlin. Thank you all so, so much. And much like last year's march, all proceeds from Patreon this month will be going towards the International Relief Committee for help with Ukraine and the Ukrainian people, as well as any sort of thing you purchase through our Boomslink ad. That will also be going towards this donation. So if you really want to make a purchase off Boomslink but don't want to help us for some reason or another, if you do it this month, then the proceeds that we would get from any sort of thing like that will be going towards this donation from the end of the month. And it's a great cause because the war is still ongoing and there's still a lot of damage and devastation going on. So hopefully the donation we have will help a little family or help somebody in need or just help some displaced people. That's what we're really hoping for. But thank you guys for listening to this podcast. Thank you for being there. Hopefully you'll be there in the future. But if you aren't, thank you so much for just checking us out. It means a whole lot. So thank you guys once again. Bye-bye, take care, and Gambate.